Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 8th, 2024. Today is Friday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." Here ends the reading. On the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we read this passage from Mark at church. As I mentioned in the sermon that day, the story of the Transfiguration is always read on the final Sunday of the season of Epiphany. While the details differ between the four Gospels, what makes this story so special is that all four Gospels tell it. Clearly, what happened on the mountain was a story the early church was telling about Jesus even before any one writer set about the task of composing a gospel. After the service that day was concluded, a longtime member of the congregation walked up to me and said, "I've always had a question about this story. How in the world did Peter, James, and John know that it was Elijah and Moses talking to Jesus?" I confess, I had never thought about that. And this was the first time that particular question had ever been posed to me. And so I told the parishioner, "I have no idea, but that's a great question." Since that little exchange, I've been thinking about the question. And while I don't have any definitive answers, here are some random thoughts on the matter. Other than Jesus, the only people present for the event were Peter, James, and John, and since the three of them were fishermen, it's likely they weren't exactly scripture scholars. But it is also likely that they would have known enough of their tradition, they would have been told the stories of their tradition as kids and young adults. They had heard the story of Elijah enough times to understand and to remember that Elijah had been carried off to heaven in a chariot of fire. That's recorded in the book of 1 Kings. And they would have known that because of Elijah's dramatic, death-defying departure from this life, plenty of people looked for him to somehow return, since he had never died. Remember how people earlier in the Gospel of Mark conjectured that John the Baptist might have been Elijah? Or that just in yesterday's reading, plenty of people seemed to think that Jesus was? Here's a fun fact. To this day, when Jews gather to celebrate Passover, there's always an empty seat left at the table to make room for Elijah, just in case he decides to show up. the disciples would have also known about the debate regarding the whereabouts of Moses. Everyone knew the story that Moses had been barred by God from entering the promised land. Everyone would also have known that there was no place designated as the burial site of Moses. You can't find it on a map. And while the book of Deuteronomy says clearly that Moses died, by the time of Jesus, there were a number of his fellow Jews, like the Pharisees, who believed in some form of life after death. So the resurrection from the dead was not out of the question for them. My best guess in answer to my parishioner's question is that Peter's identification of the two figures with the transfigured Jesus is the result of both his familiarity with the stories of his people, the Jews, and the same sort of spirit-driven insight he had displayed when he confessed Jesus as the Messiah. Over the course of the centuries since, plenty of biblical commentators have noted that Moses represents the Torah, the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. So when the voice from heaven declares, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him," the voice is indicating that Jesus speaks with the authority of the law and the prophets. This is another one of those holy moments in Mark's gospel in which Jesus tells those who were present to witness an event or a miracle to remain silent about what they had seen. I suspect it was easy for Peter, James, and John to remain silent because they were so confused about what it was that they had actually seen in the first place. And certainly, they didn't understand what it meant. Clearly, the Transfiguration story is meant to be a moment when the divinity of Jesus is revealed. The disciples catch a glimpse of Jesus' glory, even if they can't quite make sense of it. And somehow, the story only begins to make sense to Jesus' followers after they have had an experience of the resurrected Jesus. In Mark's narrative, this episode is a significant turning point. From this time onward in the narrative, Jesus journeys toward Jerusalem and the fate that awaits him there. In a few short chapters, we will experience a different vision of Jesus, no longer transfigured in dazzling white, but disfigured by scourging and hanging naked on a cross. Here's the thing, though. The glory of the transfiguration, the gore of the crucifixion, and the mystery of the resurrection are all constitutive of the Jesus story. You can't have one to the exclusion of the other two. As much as we, like Peter, might prefer to bypass the cross, we cannot. We are about to move past the halfway point of Lent. In just a matter of days, we will be walking in the way of the cross once again in Holy Week. It's a journey, this way of the cross, that we all must take. And it's a journey we can take because Jesus has led the way. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, our strength, a true love of your holy name, so that trusting in your grace we may fear no earthly evil, nor fix our hearts on earthly goods, but may rejoice in your full salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.